Every believer has the capacity to live as Jesus lived. Live victoriously over sin, sickness, death, poverty, and every evil works of the enemy. You can transform not just your own life, but the lives of people around you. The more you expose yourself to the words of God, the more you see it flow through you. In this message, Pastor Philip teaches on how you can respond to God's unconditional love for you. Live your life in the reality of His power and be all His Word says you can be.
And service. Please bring out your notepads. Kingdom stewardship and service. Kingdom stewardship and service. I said as we began that when we serve God, we are serving our own interest. When we serve God, serving God is serving our own interest. I said categorically that God has not asked us to serve Him for nothing. He says, they will serve me and I will bless their bread and bless their water. God has promises for us as we serve. I encouraged you to find a place in the house of God to render service. If by now you still have not found a place to serve in the house of God, you are not doing well. If by now you are just consuming other people's service, somebody comes clean the chairs you sit on, somebody comes sweeps the place you stand on, somebody comes tunes the music or the sound that you listen to, somebody else comes to play the music, somebody else comes to ensure the ACs are working, somebody else comes and does everything, and you do absolutely nothing in the house of God. Even until now, you still have not found a place to put yourself in and engage. You are not doing well. I said benefits of service, that God secures your future. It gives you health and vitality. In John chapter 15, verse 1 to 2, it says, any branch that bears fruit, I prune that it may bear more fruit. Any branch that God sees that is bearing fruit to Him, God ensures that that branch is healthy so that it can bear more fruit. Because the laborers are few, the few must be kept fit so that they can keep bearing fruits. God's eyes are on the people. God's eyes are on the laborers. He wants to keep them healthy. And so when you serve in the house of God, God ensures that you are healthy. God ensures that you are fit. Last week, I spoke very clearly on the fact that God wants us to have platforms for His service. He has platforms for us. Who can remind me one of the things I said that is platform for service? What's it? Number one? What? Kingdom advancement prayer is a platform for service. I said in the book of Proverbs that God says, give me your heart. He says, when you pray, pray with your heart. He says, pray in the secret. Matthew 6 verse 6. He said, for your Father, which seeth thee in secret, will reward you in open. Because prayer itself is a service. Prayer itself is a service. In Luke chapter 2 verse 30 to 37, I spoke about the woman widow who the Bible says had been with her husband only for 7 years. And she spent all her years in the house of God praying and fasting. Prayer itself is a platform. I said last week that when we pray for the healing of the land, we pray that God's promise will come upon the land. I said clearly that God, who sees us praying in secret, will reward us openly. The second platform is what? Soul winning platform. And for all the Tuesdays of this month, we have emphasized the place of soul winning, that people should go out and win souls. If you had missed Tuesday services, you have missed a great deal. There, I was categorically, you know, focusing on and emphasizing on the place of soul winning. And I encourage everyone to go out and meet souls and win souls. Winning souls is the most important assignment in the heart of God. More important than any other thing. Everything that we are doing, from the singing to the playing to the arranging to the organizing, anything we are doing that does not dovetail or result to souls being won is a waste.
anything that we do in church that doesn't result to people coming to know Jesus, people coming to relate with Jesus, everything that we are doing that does not result into that is a waste of time. I encourage you to serve God with your time. Serve God with your energy. I said last week that service is a choice. In the book of Joshua, Joshua said, help me do more. Joshua chapter 24 verse 15.
And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord,
yes,
choose you this day whom ye will serve.
Yes.
Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood,
yes,
or the gods of the Amorites,
yes,
in whose land ye dwell.
Yes.
But as for me,
and my house,
we will serve the Lord.
So Joshua said, choose this day. Choose today whom you will serve. Choose now. Now that you have the energy, choose. Now that you have the choice, choose. Now that you are not on the sick bed and have no choice, choose. Choose now that there's still life in you. Choose now. It says choose this day. God wants us to choose. You see, the reason why God put the tree with the forbidden fruit, the tree of knowledge and good, knowledge of good and evil in the garden, even though he didn't want Adam and Eve to eat out of it. People have asked, if God didn't want them to eat out of it, then why did he put the tree there? If God didn't want us to eat out of the fruit, why didn't God just take away the fruit? How many have had those questions you had before? That if God didn't want them to eat out of the fruit, why then did he put the tree there? And it's because God wants you to have a choice. You see that? God doesn't want people that follow him because they don't have a choice not to. He says, I set before you life and death. What did he say? Choose life. You see, God wants you to have a will. Don't trust anyone that doesn't have a will. Anybody that does not have a choice cannot be trusted, because you don't know what they would have chosen if they had a choice. Are you following my point? God wants you to choose him in spite of all the choices you have. So he says, choose this day. Don't choose tomorrow. Some people are going to choose tomorrow who they will serve. Some people want to choose next year that they will serve God. You have lived the entire of 2022 or 2023 serving yourself. You are saying, I'm just going to wait till December 31st, then I'm going to choose the Lord. You know, at that crossover service, I'm just going to make a choice for God so that I can live the rest of 2024. Choose this day. You have no guarantee what will happen before then. God wants you to choose now. Now that you are young, now that you have the energy, now that you can bounce. Now is the time to choose to serve God. Young people, somebody says that I'm going to choose, you know, when I get to Pastor Philip's age, let me just enjoy my life now. You know, this God serve, just no, let me enjoy my life. I'm going to serve him later. I didn't become what I became today because I chose God today. I became what I became today because I chose God many years ago. So if you wait till you get to my age, you have missed it. Choose today. Don't choose tomorrow. Choose today. Some of us have come to church today. You have a plan that after service, you will go and do something terrible. You will not be able to do it. After service, trust me, because I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray. Whatever evil intentions you had planned, God has a plan for you. And he wants you to choose today. Choose now. No matter what plans you have. People come to church on Sunday morning and have plans after service. Every plan that's not in accordance of God's will is frustrated in the name of Jesus. God wants you to choose him now. When I was in law school, I used to go to law school to preach every Saturday. And there was a lady there who had planned that she was going to spend her law school years or year serving herself. She had lived under her mother and her father's, you know, monitoring for all those years, and now she's going to be free. She's in Abuja, and she had planned that when I get to Abuja, I will throw all caution to the wind. I will live the way I want to live. That was her plan. So she had made plans that after her law school, then she can do whatever she wants to do with Jesus. But for this now, she's going to serve the devil. Unknown to her, God had begun to speak to my own heart to begin to go to law school. Because your plans may be big, but the plans of God are bigger. And then she came to the law school, and here was I, preaching and teaching and preaching and teaching and preaching and teaching. Say, oh God, God followed me here again. I say, yes. Choose today. Don't choose tomorrow. Don't put off your salvation till tomorrow. Don't put off your obedience till tomorrow. The devil is not threatened by anything you want to do so long as you have said you will do it tomorrow. Anything. I'm going to have a strong prayer life so long as you say tomorrow. Satan is not threatened. Anything you want to do today is the threat. Anything you want to do tomorrow is just a treat. Satan is not scared of anything you intend. When are you going to surrender your life to Jesus completely? It has to be today. Today. It says, choose ye today. When are you going to stop watching porn? Today. Not tomorrow. There's never a last time. See, this time is the last time. You know, that is never the last time. How many last times have you had? How many last times have you had? I'm going to make this the last time and this last time because it's the last time and the last time and the last time. If you're going to ever have a last time, the last time must be the last time. Today is the day of salvation, he says. Choose today whom you would serve. When are you going to give God the juice of your strength? The juice of your youth? Today. Today. Today, when are you going to obey God when he calls on you? Today. Rob Willie gets the story of a young man, of an old man that come to preach in Benin, in Benue. He was a young teacher in Benue. And the man and his wife had come at 75 years old. Both of them were 75 years old and very sickly. They had come and they wanted to preach. They wanted to organize a crusade. Both of them were Americans. And he was a very eager young man. Planned the crusade for them. Both of them, husband and wife, came and they tried to preach. But the more they preached, before the man can preach 10 minutes, he will start gasping for breath. They give him water, he drink. Preach for under 5 minutes, give him water, he drink. He could not preach well. He made altar call, nobody came out. It's not because the people don't want to come out, but they don't even understand what he's saying. He was very old and very aged. As they drove back to the house, he called Brother Billy, Billy Akoni. He said, Billy, don't be like me. Don't be like me. He said, yes. He said, how are you? He said, I was 25 years old when the Lord first appeared to me that go to Africa. Go to Africa. Go and preach. He said, Lord, don't worry. I'm going to go to Africa. Let me marry first. The Bible says, two are better than one. If I can marry now, me and my wife will go and then we'll be able to do what you want us to do. You know, we can use God's word against him. But the Lord stayed. I said, okay, no problem. Since that's what he wants. He got married. His wife was pregnant. God came back again. He was almost 30 now. Go to Africa. He said, you know, my wife is pregnant and I heard that they don't have very good medical facilities there. Let my wife give birth here. And we have weaned our child. When we wean our child and our child is okay, then we'll go to Africa. God said, okay, no problem. You know God can wait for you. You know God can wait. Do you know that God doesn't get old? Do you know that God never gets old? You see, if you tell God that, please give me 50 years, God will still be the same age he was when he came to meet you 50 years ago. He is ageless. He is from eternity to eternity. He was the God that spoke to Abraham. He has been there long before your parents were born. So now he was about 40. God said, this child is now weaned. Go to Africa. He said, Lord, I want to start a church. If I can start a church now, it will be a mission driven church, and we are going to be churning missionaries to Africa. What did God tell him to do? But you know, our sense, because we think we are wiser than God, we know how to adjust his instructions. He's speaking to your heart. As I'm talking to you now, he's speaking to your heart. You are adjusting what he told you to do. You fine-tune it. You think you are wiser and you have a better plan.
And so you are thinking that if you can come up with a better plan, God's plan will be inferior. He started a church. 10 years have passed. Nothing to show for it. God came back again. Come and be going to Africa. He was over 50 now. He said, let me start a business. If I can start a business, then we can raise funds and be able to sponsor missionaries across the world to Africa. Started a business at the age of 75. When he saw that he was about to die, all the business collapsed. Church scattered. His children that he gave out to became rebels, rebelled and walked away from the home. It remained only him and his wife. Now he was 75, 50 years after God first spoke to him. That was when he carried his bag and was rushing to Africa. Choose ye this day. Don't put your obedience till tomorrow. What is the Lord speaking to your heart as a young man? When should you yield to the discipline of ministry? Now. When should you yield to the demands of your purpose in life? Now, not tomorrow. The moment you push to tomorrow, you are going to keep pushing to tomorrow. Now is the time to obey God. Joshua speaking to the people said, choose ye this day. Number one, prayer. What do I pray for? What do we pray for? I said last week, prayer is the first platform. If you want to serve God, the first thing God wants to do in your life is to steer you up to pray. If he has not gotten you to pray, he can't get you to do anything. Prayer is the key. Prayer is the first. If God wants to do anything in a city, the first thing he does is to begin to move the hearts of the people to pray. That's the first thing. He said to the disciples, he says, the laborers are few. The harvest is plentiful. You would have said, okay, rush into the harvest. He says, no, pray. Pray that God will send laborers. It's like saying, ready, set, pray. Not go. Pray. Start. Pray. If he cannot get you to pray, he can't send you to China. If he cannot get you to pray, he can't send you to Canada. He can't send you. He can't use you if he can't get you to pray. The first assignment of a believer is to first learn how to talk to God. So, Pastor, I don't know what to pray about. I don't know how to pray. Number one, what do I pray for? What do I pray for as I serve in kingdom advancement prayers? I pray that God will keep bringing multitudes to his church. Psalm 2 verse 8. I pray, that's my first prayer, that God draw the hearts of men. Before you come to church on Sunday, you are praying. Some of us don't pray for the service. You know, sometimes during intercessory prayers, I'm walking around. I'm looking at people. Some people don't know how to pray. It's sad. In church, keyboard is going, smoke, lights. You cannot pray. How am I sure you don't even have light in your house? How am I sure? So I'm walking around. This morning, I still walked around. As they were leading prayer, I saw some people just stand like shigidi, like this. They stand straight like letter I. They are saying nothing. And I am bothered in my heart. That how will you be able to birth destiny in your life? Do you know who is battling with you? Some of us came from very terribly rooted, evil rooted families. You know it. And yet you close your mouth. You can't pray. Pray, you can't pray. You stand there. And the devil has made plans for your life. Some of them, you are having bad dreams. Masquerade is pursuing you in your dream. Still, you cannot pray. So what will you do? Pray that multitude. You have Psalm chapter 2 verse 8 now. What does it say? Psalm 2 verse 8. Ask of me, and I'll give thee the heathen
for thine inheritance.
Yes.
And the utmost part of the earth for thy possession.
I will give you. Ask for the city. Psalm 2 verse 8. The size of your request is the size of your answer. Don't ask for small things. Ask for the city. As a child of God, Pastor, what do I pray for? Pray that multitudes will come to the house of God. Some of us have friends that don't know Jesus. Are you praying for them? Some of us have family members that don't know Jesus. Are you praying for them? Pray for them. If you don't pray for them and they don't get saved, they are going to go to hell.
I'm not cursing. That's the truth. Pray that multitudes. God wants to add multitudes to the church, but he needs us to pray for it. Give me Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36, verse 37. Ezekiel 36, verse what should I pray for? Ezekiel 36, verse 37. What does it say? Help me.
Thus saith the Lord
Thus
God.
Thus says the Lord God.
I will yet for this. Be inquired of by the house of Israel.
Be inquired of by the house of Israel.
To do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock.
Yes, is that all?
37.
What does it say?
This is 37. 38. As the holy flock.
Yes.
As the flock of Jerusalem in
yes.
a solemn feast.
Yes.
So shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men.
They shall know. So give me 37 in NLT. What does it say?
This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am ready to hear Israel's prayers.
Someone say God is ready. Say God is ready. He says, I am ready to hear Israel's prayers. Yes?
And to increase their numbers like a flock.
So when Israel prays, God is ready to hear. Some of you are here today. You are products of prayer. We prayed you here. On Sunday morning, we are out there praying. Father, bring them. People that are destined for salvation. Nobody that is sick will remain sick. Nobody that is unsaved will remain unsaved. Everyone that needs to know Jesus must come to him. We are praying with our hearts every morning. He says, I'm ready to hear them. I am ready to do what he can help me. What is the next?
They will be as numerous as the sacred
flock. Yes?
That fill Jerusalem's streets at the time of our festival.
Everywhere filled with people. So, pastor, what should I pray for? Pray that multitude will come to the house of God. Number two, pastor, what should I pray for? Pray for the establishment of converts. Pray that people that come to the Lord will be established in the Lord. People that come to the Lord will not just be tourists. They are not coming and going and coming and going and coming and going. Some of us have suffered that thing in our lives. But like I said, you are a product of prayer. You are not just coming and going. They come and then they abide. Give me Colossians chapter 4 verse 12. What does it say? Colossians 4 verse 12.
Epaphras. A member of your own fellowship.
Is that King James? Epaphras.
Ephesus, who is one of you?
Yes.
A servant of Christ.
Yes.
Saluted you. Always laboring fervently for you in prayer.
Always. So you see how Paul introduces Epaphras. How did he introduce Epaphras?
One of you, a servant of Christ.
A servant. So what's a servant?
Servant.
Is one of you and is a servant. One of the ways he's a servant is that he's doing what?
Always laboring for you in prayers.
Prayers that what will happen?
That ye may stand perfect.
That you stand perfect. That's your prayer. Father, as the people come to the Lord Jesus, the devil will not steal them again. We come against you, devil. Take your hands of God's property. This is a new child. It's God's property. It belongs to Jesus. As they come to the church, as they come to God, they are established for him. He says he's laboring always. He calls prayer a labor. You see, when women labor in pain to give birth, that's exactly how prayer looks. You are laboring. Some of us have not even experienced that kind of dimension of prayer before. We have a generation that is growing that has no prayer life. And it's saddening because I know that Satan has not gotten powerless. The same devil that came against our fathers is still as devilish and devilic as he was. And he is not attuned that this is a social media age. We are the ones getting weaker. He never got weaker. He's not attuned that you cannot use ChatGPT to pray. You cannot use AI. Pray for me. There is no AI. You see that? There is no technology that can fast for you. There is no app that you can download that says, how many days fasting? 21 days. How many hours of prayer? 2 hours. Enter. And you are sleeping. And the app is praying. There is no software like that. That's why there will be no software. There is no software like that. You must bring forth your destinies on your knees. You must bring forth what God has pictured and given to you. You must bring it forth yourself. Don't be a weakling. Don't be a lazy Christian. Don't. No. Pray.
My friend was in my office. He says, Philip, people might not know. They will think that because of this, you're air. Oh, my man.
We pray, oh. Pray.
We just form. Leave the jeans. Leave the air. Leave the looks. You see me when I'm praying, I'm a lion. I put all this aside. All the mascara, all your wig, you pull it aside. You have fingers, acrylic fingers, but you cannot grasp anything in the spirit. You put it aside. Your eyelashes are long, but you cannot see any vision. Casa. Casa. Child of God, leave those things. You are just dead. You are playing. Get on your knees and develop a culture. That's one thing that we're going to do for the rest of this month. Into the wind of the spirit. There's prayers going 9 p.m. every day. Join one prayer group. Join one. Even if you don't want to go anywhere with your life, let them drag you. If you are sure that you cannot drag, you know listagen. You know how they do listagen? They whine. How many of us listagen before? You know listagen? You whine it. You know that you cannot. So join it. That prayer team you are joining, like that listagen. They whine you too before you kickstart. Let them whine you. Pray. It says pray that they are established. Give me Galatians 4 verse 19. Galatians 4 verse 19. I want to emphasize that because my time is already gone. Alright.
My little children.
Of whom I travail in birth.
Again until Christ be formed in you.
It says my little children of whom I travail in birth again. You see that word? Give us NLT. Are you following me in church this morning? Give us NLT. What does NLT say?
Oh, my dear children. I feel as if I'm going through labor pains for you.
I'm going through labor pains. You see, Paul had to go through labor pains to birth them in the first place. In the spirit. Now, he says he's going through labor pains again. Why is he going through labor pains?
And they will continue until Christ is fully developed.
These pains will continue until Christ is fully developed. So Paul is there in Maka, in Tlakuketa, in Ba, Ikubilikitilikibakibakibilikitaka. The same energy that he put in to give back to them, he keeps putting it in until Christ is formed in them. Until Christ is formed in them. 9 p.m. every day we are praying. Join a prayer group. We are fasting in this church every day. From Monday to Sunday. Every day. Join one fasting group. Join something. At least even if you are not serious, just pretend as if you are serious. And just join one. Go to the information desk after service and join one. I want to join group Wednesday. Who is in charge of Wednesday? That's the center. Please add me to the WhatsApp group. If it is too many, you are going to start with something. From that too many, it will go to milky, milky, baggy. It will become stronger. But you must grow. You don't jump up. You grow up. Pray. I labor till Christ be formed in them. Number three, pray for the transformation of the lives of believers. For the transformation of the lives of believers. That people, as they come to Jesus, their lives will be changed. Nobody can doubt a changed life. When that woman at John chapter 4, Samaritan woman, came and said, Come and see. When a man's or woman's life is changed, it can draw men to Jesus. People look at you and their lives, they are steered up, they are encouraged because they see that there's changes in your life. Some of us here, I've seen people's parents call me. People's parents have called me that the life of my child has changed. You know, there's nothing as beautiful to me than when a parent, next year we're going to have a parent celebration Sunday. I'm going to write an official letter to those of you that your parents is fighting you that you must not come to SLC. I'll write an official letter to them to specially invite them. We'll give them chair in the front like this. Come to us. Next year, we're going to plan it. Parents' celebration Sunday. We'll celebrate them from outside. Our daddy, our mommy. See, as they're coming.
We love you. We invite them. I'll personally write a letter to them to invite them. But when your life is changed, it's not difficult. Bobby's father, I keep giving that, it was one of my biggest testimony. Bobby's father, my protocol officer here, the father called me. He says, my son's life has changed. He said, Pastor, I want to thank you. Because the father heard that I went to Akwa Ibom for Williams. My wife and I went to Akwa Ibom for William and Eddie Young's wedding. So the father heard that I come to Akwa Ibom. He didn't know I was going to go the next day. I came one day, left the same. So he called me. He said, Pastor, I heard that. He said, I'm Bobby's father. He said, I heard that you are in Akwa Ibom. I said, yeah, we were there, but we said, oh my God. You have gone? I said, yes. He said, please, what vehicle did they use to carry you? I said, I didn't even look. He said, oh God. Which hotel did they lodge you? I said, I didn't even look at the name. He said, please, don't ever come to Akwa Ibom again without letting me know. We'll pick a befitting vehicle to pick you from the airport. And we'll put you in the sweetest hotel. He said, people like you should never come to the city and be just anywhere. I said, so what did I do to deserve this? He said, my son's life has changed. He said, my son's life has changed. He said, I know him. He said, I know him. I know him. I knew how worse, how terrible things were with him. His elder sister is in the UK, everybody concerned. He says, and we didn't even want him to come to church because when we saw your hair, we said, this guy, I thought you want to go again. He said, but his life is changed. His life is changed. And I just want to call you as his father to thank you. He said, we have the biggest event center in Akwa Ibom. We have the biggest event center. He said, anytime you want to hold a meeting in Akwa Ibom, you have it free of charge. Anytime. See, it's just free. Everything's free. Why? Change lives. Pray that as people are coming to church, they don't become worse. That their lives... Are you writing down these things? Or you're just looking at me like, look, say it. Like, look more. Write it down. That their lives will change. Same thing. Selem's dad called me. I told him, Selem, your dad called me. Selem's dad called me. Called me for almost 10 minutes. And thanking me. I don't know all these boys are in their friend's house. Boys. And the man was thanking me. I'm Salem's dad. Say, yes, I just want to call to let you know I'm very grateful. One woman sent me a message. He said, Pastor, I have failed as a mother. Because the daughter said something about me on my birthday. And I screenshot what she said. And I cropped off her name, but I posted what she said on my status. And the mother said, and the mother messaged me, I said, that's my daughter. I said, how did you know? He said, I know how my daughter writes. He said, and I want to thank you. He said, I failed as a mother. He said, but God brought you in to replace me. He said, my daughter is who she is today because of you, Pastor. Those kind of messages bring tears to my eye. Because we are praying that the hearts of men and their lives will be genuinely and thoroughly changed. Mr. Dubo gave a very funny story of a man who was a tenant. The landlord is a Muslim. And the landlord came and met him. Hey, Mr. Man, I'm not paying my rent. The guy said, Joseph, you cannot tell me you don't have. He said, see that church there? That church there, boy that goes there, always laughing. It's Winner's Chapel. Please go, whatever they're doing to them, go there and come and pay my debt. Come and pay my rent. Anything they're doing for them there, go and get your own. I'm tired of this, your own rent. So the man, like me, went next Sunday. Within a few weeks, was able to pay his rent. Landlord faced the next tenant. Hey! Tenant B! See your mate! He wasn't able to pay his rent before. But now, since he has started attending that winners, he has been able to pay. You two, go there! My friend, don't stop and go, don't owe me my rent! That one too went. Fear. Within short weeks, pay his rent. The landlord said, it's as if it's my own tunnel. I have to go there now. And the landlord went. The landlord, who was a Muslim, is a deacon in Winners now. Because of testimonies of changed lives. Pastor, what am I supposed to pray? Pray that as men come to Jesus, their lives are genuinely and thoroughly changed. Lives are genuinely and thoroughly changed. In praying for that, I want you to pray for yourself. that even you yourself, that there will be a genuine change in your life. And that the things that you struggle with, as you serve the Lord, the things that you struggle with will become a thing of the past. Quickly, how do we serve? I'll just run through it. Number one, let's serve willingly. Write it down. Serve willingly. Don't serve grudgingly. Serve willingly. Number two, serve cheerfully. Serve God excitedly. When I came to church this morning and I saw that the place was so dirty and people were cleaning, oh, my heart was filled with joy. I saw people cleaning with joy. Cleaning with joy. You were cleaning the place. Everybody was laughing, talking, laughing, cleaning. Ah, serving God. People were cleaning the toilet. Some of us would come and you go to the toilet and you see, for say, what kind of church there is. But somebody was there like you. Cleaning, cleaning, cleaning. And you are there enjoying the place. You go to Winners, you go to Redeem, I told you, you go to Redeem Camp, you see judges of the high court who are ushers. Judges. You see great men, billionaires who are ushers. Who are, tell me, please sit down here. Sit down here. Sit down here. Sit down here. Some of you, as you are coming, you see somebody usher, you say never. That side. Say please, I say never, never. No. Please, can you let me pass, please? Only for you to go to office on Monday where you are seeking for a job. And the person says, hey, is the person in charge of HR. He said, you that cannot listen to instruction. Yesterday. How are we going to employ you here now? How are we sure that you cannot obey instruction in the house of God? Now in office. We cannot guarantee, so please, you are not, we can't take you. Ushers in the house of God. Greeters. Yes, every place to serve. Stop coming to church and just sitting down. Serve cheerfully and excitedly. Delightedly. Be happy about it. In those days, before we even have a car. That's my wife. We are climbing pedestrian bridge in Dawaki. We used to live in Dawaki and we had to climb that bridge to Gwaripa. So our church was in Gwaripa. And we were running. My wife was pregnant with our first daughter, Tinu. And I said, come, baby, come. And as she was running, her slippers caught. Ah! See, my slippers caught. I picked up, I said, we can't stop. And so we had to rush like that. I said, we can't be late. Excited, very happy that God has granted us that kind of opportunity and privilege to serve. Then I'm going to say, neighbor, serve God excitedly. Number three, let your service be love motivated. Not eye service. Serve God because you love Him. If you love God, serve Him. Don't serve because you want the pastor to notice you. Don't serve because you want the other people to celebrate you. Don't serve because you want people to praise you. If you do all that, then you have your reward already. Serve God because of your love for God. If you love God, you will love His house. If you love God, you will love His house. If you love God, you will give to Him. If you love God, you will love His purpose. If you love God, you will love His work. Number four, serve God righteously. Serve God righteously. Don't serve God with filth. Don't serve God. Don't compromise morals. Compromise your righteous. The Bible says, everyone that names the name of the Lord must depart from iniquity. Serve God with righteousness. There are people who come to church. You know, there are some brothers in church who come to church and they are serving and they are just trying to catch some sisters. And this is why they join a team. That if you join a team, you are able to get closer to your prey. They are like predators in the house of God. I'm telling you. Predators, that's what they're just there serving. Just catching. I've changed. I'm a gentleman. When I was in terror, my former church, I was in terror there. I've changed. I'm even looking for someone that will be like me. Now, how I was there. But everybody just nice. I was not nice. One moment. I don't lie. There was no guy like that in the choir those days. Just tasting all the sisters. I'm telling you. Like a cooking competition judge. It's okay. Ah, this was sweet. Sister one, sister two, sister three. I didn't even get to know fast. By the time I got to know, it was because an issue happened. The sister said she's no longer interested in what you were doing. And he said, no. And pulled out a knife at her. A brother in the house of God pulled out a knife at the sister. And says, and threatened the sister. Sometimes the sister says, you come and be knocking a window in the night, because his house was not very far. Was a terror to that sister. And the news got to me. I said, what? So I called my DSS friends. I didn't ask the pastor. I didn't tell the pastor. This is strictly criminal matter. God forgives, but the government punishes. If you're a rapist, you can go to heaven, but you go to jail. You see that? God forgives, but the government punishes. I got some of my DSS guys, and I went to pick him without letting him know from church, as if I was taking him somewhere. I just swap into one secret place. Come down. He gets, hey, come here. Yeah, we're shivering. See you there. You know, without their voice, I changed my face. I said, is this true that you have been going about sleeping with sisters in our church? He said, yes, yes, yes. I said, particularly sisters, so and so. I even heard that you pulled a knife at her. He said, yeah. I said, you did that to a sister? And she said, she's not doing it again. You're not going to agree? He said, I'm sorry. I said, you're not sorry like that. So I brought the paper and I wrote an undertaking for him. I, so and so. If sister and so even greet me, I will not answer. If she call me, I will not respond. If I text, I say, sign it! Now! You will not be seen close to her. No, God. Never! Don't respond to her greeting. If you greet him. If you do so and you are found, you'll be picked up and taken straight to jail. Guys, sign. After I say, shall we pray? Father, we commit this time to you. We thank you for how far you have brought us. You are the beginning and you are the ending. In Jesus' precious name. And I dropped him in the church. Ah! You guys look at me like this. That brother. But I'm not like that. I've changed. But I'm looking for someone that will be like that in this church. I don't know. I was even hoping that one or two, but people they're already nice. But I'm nice. Just, hey. Serve God righteously. I'm telling you, there are people in the church that come to church and they come to just mess up, and they give us bad reputation in the world outside. Serve God righteously. Last one, let me just close because my time is gone. Serve God tirelessly. That's number four, Abby. Number five is serve God tirelessly. Number six, serve God as a privilege, not as a burden. John 15, verse 16. For serving God righteously, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 8. For serving God with love, 1 Corinthians 13. For serving God tirelessly is Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. And find that one, serve God sacrificially. Serve God even when it's not convenient. Serve God even when you don't look like it. Serve God even when things are difficult. Serve God. Serve God while you can. Serve God while you can. All right? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you because of the blessing of your word. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this message. Meditate on these words and watch how it will transform your life. For inquiries, please call 0909-672-9827 or 0807-548-5997. You can reach us on Instagram and Facebook. Instagram at SL Church NG. You can reach us on our Facebook. That's Supernatural Life Church. You can't even